All right, we are in Heavenly Places, page 359, December 18th, and it's titled Judge of the Whole World. And Matthew 25, 31, chapter 25, verses 31 and 2 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And then Sister White goes on to say, in his teachings, Christ sought to impress men with the certainty of the coming judgment and with its publicity. You know, if there was a way that we could share this, and I'm sure the Lord's going to give it to us when the latter rain falls more abundantly, but boy, I want it now. You know, I keep praying for light. I need more light. I've got so many loved ones that really have no clue what's going on out there. Just think, you know, like for example, the climate change, no big deal. It's just an El Nino, they're going to call it, because that's what they're calling it, the government. And so, if we can, we'll just keep praying, everybody, for the light, for the Lord to bless us with more light, and of course the latter rain, so that we'll have the truth that'll cut hearts in a much more intense manner. And you gotta know this is gonna come very, very shortly, because why else would the Vatican set up the climate change agenda if the mark wasn't about to be enforced? Sister White's pretty clear. They're going to use the calamities, which climate change is all about, to enforce it. So that has to be put in place. As a matter of fact, the Pope said something 2 weeks ago before the COP21 meetings, actually 2.5 weeks ago, that he was insisting on legal binding methods whereas to enforce the climate change laws. So, but still, like she says here, Christ's teachings were more or less set up to impress, you know, the people that he's coming. And then she goes on to say that this is not the judgment of a few individuals or even of a nation, but of a whole world of human intelligences, of accountable beings. It is to be held in the presence of other worlds, that the love, the integrity, the service of man for God may be honored to the highest degree. You know, we got some blessings headed our way that we can't even fathom. I mean, it's just going to be off the chart. But still, we'll put the crown at his feet, because it's not about us. It's about him. It's just our obedience. That's how he uses us and how he, you know, blesses us. She says, there will be no lack of glory and honor. The law of God will be revealed in its majesty, and those who have stood in defiant rebellion against its holy precepts will understand that the law that they have discarded and despised is God's standard of character. In this speck of a world, the heavenly universe will manifest the greatest interest, for Jesus paid an infinite price for the souls of its inhabitants. And that's another thing that ever since I met Christ and understood, when I looked up at that Milky Way, what I was looking at, even though I'm looking at a postage stamp section of arm number or spiral number 7 of the Milky Way, and it's just one galaxy. Yeah, it's just one out of trillions. And so I'm looking at up all those stars and all that other stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we're a speck down here. But this is the one planet that Satan was cast to. So this is the only planet in the entire universe that has a race of people on it that are, as far as I'm concerned, the only difference that's going to be between us and the people on those other planets are, of course, our name will be imprinted on our foreheads, and that's, I think, one of the reasons we have such big foreheads, some of us. And then the other toss on that is, of course, the wings and the glowing robe. Whether they'll have the robes, I would imagine, yeah, because Adam and Eve had them before the fall. But I don't recall anywhere in scriptures that Adam and Eve were able to go into flight. And so, and will be ambassadors. And so we have these amazing, off-the-chart blessings. Out of the entire universe, we are the only ones that have been tested and tried and are true and are overcomers. And he's going to use us and glorify himself throughout the entire universe for all eternity. And he needs our help to do it. It's like, wow. You know, to love us that much, to give us that kind of duty. I mean, just down here sharing your faith, doesn't it get you going sometimes? You know, just sharing with somebody, and if they're listening and they're getting it, it like really blesses your heart, right? Well, think about doing that for eternity. You know, something you love to do for eternity. All right. Let me turn on the fan here. It's getting kind of warm in here. Yeah, dead of winter. It's amazing how things get warmed up when the Lord starts moving, or when I start sharing, and vice versa. When he helps me, let's put it that way. So she says, God designed that the prince of sufferers in humanity should be judge of the whole world. He who came from the heavenly courts to save man from eternal death, he who submitted to be arraigned before an earthly tribunal, and who suffered the ignominious death of the cross, he alone is to pronounce the sentence of reward or of punishment. I mean, think about it. He walked a mile in our shoes, and even then some. So. Oh, we'll find that out when we get home, Sister Vera. It's not so much sharing in New Jerusalem. I mean, think about that. The Bible says that we will reign with Christ, right? So let's say you make it there and I make it there. I'm a man and you're a woman, and so I'm a king, I'm not going to say I'm a king. I'm just going to say we reign with Christ. So I reign in a certain way and you reign in a certain way. And how are we going to reign over each other? How am I going to reign over you when you're reigning over me, and vice versa? You know, it just doesn't make sense. So the upshot is it has to be we're reigning over someone else. And that's when I looked up at the Milky Way and I figured, oh, there you go. And, you know, so because you can't reign over, the Apostle Paul speaks of the other worlds. Sister White actually visited one in vision and saw Enoch training a grapevine. They're there. I mean, for us to look up and see all those planets and all those galaxies and like with the Hubble telescope to see, you know, trillions of planets. For us to think that we are the only ones in the entire vast universe of what we can see, even though it's just a very small amount compared to everything. For us to think that we're the only living beings is pretty conceited. That's actually worse than, you know, a belief in evolution for a man, you know, in fact, because, I mean, evolution is bad enough as it is. And the Pope again just announced recently that evolution is scientifically sound. So that's a mockery, and you know, they're calling God a liar too, just literally calling the Bible a lie. I mean, it'd be much easier for him to just say that, which he will eventually do, I'm sure. This guy, he doesn't surprise me anymore, some of the things he says, but it's just, you know, knowing that there, those other planets are up there, and to think that there's nothing on there but primordial ooze waiting for, you know, some meteorite to hit so some fish with legs can walk out of the water. It's just ridiculous. So in other words, like, and out of the entire universe, Satan was only cast to this planet. And so what are we going to share on those other planets? The only thing I can come up with, because I don't see it discussed in Spirit of Prophecy, well, yet anyway, I haven't read all of her writings, and I certainly haven't seen it in Scripture. The only thing I can think of is what we experience, just like what Jesus told Legion. He says, go and tell them what I have done for you. Well, we'll tell them what he has done for us. And why? Well, they don't know the difference between good and evil, and they haven't fallen. They haven't taken of the tree of, you know, of good and evil. As Sister White says, that tree is on every one of those planets. So we're going to be able to go and tell them, this is what happens when you do take of that tree. Because Eve did, and then gave it to Adam, and now look at the scars on Christ's body for all eternity. That's the only thing in heaven that's man-made, is the scars on his body. So going on, he who submitted to the suffering and the humiliation of the cross here in the counsel of God is to have the fullest compensation and ascend to the throne, acknowledged by all the heavenly universe as the King of Saints. He has undertaken the work of salvation and shown before unfallen worlds and the heavenly family that the work he has begun, he is able to complete. In that day of final punishment and reward, both saints and sinners will recognize in him who was crucified the judge of all living. Probationary time is granted us. Opportunities and privileges are given us to make our calling and election sure. How we should prize this precious time and improve every talent God has given, that we may be faithful stewards over ourselves. Solemn will be the day of final decision. I mean, it's going to be scary to some extent. I mean, yeah, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but there is that moment of silence where even the Gideon band is going to be, you know, waiting on the next word from on high. You know, yeah, it's going to be intense, because even though we see the day coming, and even though we see that small cloud getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and even though we see, you know, the Lord on his throne and his Father and all that stuff, well, we don't, can't really see the Father, if you know what I mean, but we see it, we know it's the end of the world, and we know he's coming for us. Because everybody else is being left behind. And all the people that look up and see what we're seeing, of course, they all collapse and start worshiping us. Because that's what they've been trained to do since day one. They've been worshiping mankind since day one. Or stone and wood and hay and stubble. But so even though he's coming, and we know he's coming for us, it's like Isaiah says, we're undone. We don't feel worthy. I think it was Isaiah who said that. So, and these are not spirits. You know, these people on these other worlds are human beings with, I mean, come on, God made man in his image. So these little green men are not aliens. Those are the first manifestation of demons. And the only reason I know that is because I used to mess with manifestations. And if you ever looked in the Book of Magic, or Magik, depending upon how you read it, one of the first ways that Satan reveals himself or his little minions is to show up at what some people call Little Green Man. You know, there's even ancient paintings of that in caves and whatnot. And those ain't men. And, you know, they're not, well, they're green, but those are demons with the big eyes and stuff like that. They can take any shape they want. They can make themselves look like aliens, if you will. And this is why all these movies come out with the UFOs, and they always got these big, bulbacious heads with the giant eyes and the long, skinny broom handle arms. And, you know, and they're, yeah, they're, it's just all a bunch of falderal. It's just demons playing those games. And people are falling for it because they don't read Bibles. It's just that simple. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed.